Leviticus 27, verse 26, only the firstling of the beast, which should be the Lord's firstling, no man shall sanctify it, whether it be ox or sheep. It is the Lord's. And if it be of an unclean beast, then he shall redeem it according to thine estimation, and shall add a fifth part of it thereto. Or if it be not redeemed, then it shall be sold according to thy estimation. Notwithstanding, no devoted thing, then a man shall devote to the Lord of all that he hath, both of man and beast, and of the field of possession, shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord. None devoted, which shall be devoted of men, shall be redeemed, but shall surely be put to death. And all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's, it is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will all redeem aught of his tithe, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the herd or the flock, even of whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. He shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you tonight for your word. Father, we understand tonight that from our perspective, our little knowledge of the day, that these verses are somewhat difficult. But Spirit of God, I believe you are the great teacher, and there are things here for us to learn and understand. And so we ask you to teach us. We pray tonight for spiritual illumination. Lord God, just have your way and will in every heart. May you be glorified as a result. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. The natural response, I believe, a person who gets saved is to ask what he can do for the Lord. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul, when he saw the Lord, he said, What can I do? He was wanting to do something for the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 116, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? When somebody does something nice to you, you in turn want to do something nice for them. This is a season of graduation, and at this time of year, often why there's invitations go out and there's commencement parties and people come and they bring gifts. And then commonly the person receiving those gifts, many times they'll have some food there, sometimes a meal, sometimes some cake, sometimes both. And then also they will generally send out a thank you, a note of appreciation, sometimes very, very personal in those remarks that they make back to those individuals. And what is it? They have had something rendered to them and they want to show their appreciation. And so when you and I get saved, I believe it's a natural thing that we want to show our appreciation unto the Lord. We find in the Old Testament times that was a very similar case. We find that there were what we would call vows that were made unto the Lord. These were made by people who wanted to go beyond the commands. There were certain things God said, hey, you're supposed to do this. There are certain things that we're to give. There are certain things that we are to accomplish. But there were folks who said, hey, I want to do something more than just that. It went past the ceremonies. It went past the ordinances. They weren't demanded of the people, but they were of a voluntary nature. You and I, we have those kinds of desires, I believe. However, when those kinds of things were done, when those vows were made, when those kinds of decisions were made, they were not to be taken lightly. They were really taken very seriously by God and ought to have been by the people who made them. Ecclesiastes refers to this, chapter 5, verse 4 and 5 says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better it is thou shouldest not vow, thou shouldest vow and not pay. I've been in preachers' meetings on a few occasions when somebody would stand up and they would say, "Boy, we have a need." Perhaps it was a meeting and there was a college involved and they had a particular need, and they said, "How many would say, hey, our church will get involved in this and we will send $1,000. And I'll tell you what, preachers, their hand began going up, and yes, God bless you and your church, and yes, God, and sometimes preachers, they, you know, like people because they are, they'll raise their hand without any intent of ever sending any money, but so that people can see them. And sometimes that takes place. And so God says we need to take very seriously those things that we commit unto the Lord. In New Testament times, I'm sure that you can remember in Book of Acts chapter 5, there were two people. It was a husband and wife, and they made a vow. They said, hey, we're going to sell our properties, and everything that we make off of the sale of that, we are going to give it to the Lord's work. And thus they sold those properties, but they did not give it all to the Lord's work. Now that was not something they had to do. It was not something that was forced upon them. It was a decision of their own. And when they made that vow unto the Lord, God took it very seriously. And when they withheld that which they said, I'm going to give to God, well, you know what happened. They were carried out of the church service one at a time. And they were buried that day because they had really become fools in that vow. They just wanted people to see or think that they were better than they really were. By the way, a lot of times in our church work, sometimes folks just want to do things to be seen. They just want folks to know, hey, I've been doing this. And really, it's all about serving God. And the person who's willing to do it in secret is the one that I believe God blesses and works in their hearts and their lives. We find there are four classifications of things that could be vowed to God in this chapter. Now, this does not include the Nazarite vow. That's another story in itself. And these things that could be vowed unto the Lord, there was something that was connected with them. These vows had a commutation. I can't really say the word. I get my tongue tied a little bit. There was a commutation that could be made. A commutation was simply a substitute of one kind of payment for another. For instance, we find in verse number 1 through verse number 8, it talks about, hey, I'm going to vow myself. I'm going to give myself to the Lord. And so I'm going to give myself to the Lord. And God said, if you are a man and you're between the ages of 20 and 60, instead of actually giving yourself, you can give 50 shekels of silver. By the way, that was well over a year's wages. I doubt if there's very many people who actually said that. But they could give that. They were basically saying, I'm giving of myself, but they gave the money in commutation or as a substitute for that. If you were between the ages of 5 and 19, why, it would be 20 shekels. I don't know. I guess that means teenagers are not as worth as much as adults. No, they just, that isn't the case at all. But it's just a fewer years there. We find that those who are 60 and up, in the range that I am, we are just about worthless. We only have to pay 15 shekels because we may not last too long, alrighty. Females, they didn't give as much as males. We find it was 30 shekels if they were 20 to 60. And if they were in their teen years, 5 to 19, why, it was 10. If they were 60 and up, it was 10 as well. We find in verses 9 through 13 that they could also give animals. And of course, in a rural society, animals were a commodity. They were that which was what they were worth. And so a man might come and he said, I'm going to give this sheep or I'm going to give this cow. I'm going to give this over and above all that God demands. I'm vowing this unto the Lord. In that case, they could not make a substitute. Now, they could, however, if it was an unclean animal. For instance, they might have had, let's say, a catfish. How many like Gideon catfish? And rather than given the catfish, which was an unclean animal, why, they could find the value of that and add 20% to it and give that as a part of their vow. Some people would say, well, hey, listen, I tell you what, I'm going to sell my house and give my house. Now, if the person decided, hey, I want to give the house, but I'd still like to live here, why, then they would basically buy the house again and pay 20% above what it was worth. So if you're living in a $120,000 or $100,000 home and you say, I'm going to give that to the Lord's work, rather than to move out of the house, you could say, I tell you what, I'm going to give you the value of that house, which is $100,000, but plus $20,000. Okay? And so it is going to be given unto the Lord for His work. If you had land and you wanted to give that, the priest basically would value that land. They would find out what is the output of that land. And for every omer, why, they would give 50 shekels. And they would count up how many years to the Jubilee, every 50 years. And they would give that amount of money per omer, whatever that land normally produced. If they didn't buy it back at that rate at the end of the Jubilee, it describes to us here that that land became the priest's forever. It could never be bought back again. Now, as we look at those verses, down to verse number 25, we find things that could be given or devoted unto the Lord. And we find the latter portion of this, the remaining verses, are really talking about things that cannot be vowed unto the Lord. The reason is very clear. It already belongs to the Lord. It's already His. And to give that which already belongs to the Lord really doesn't cost you anything. Do you understand tonight that an offering is that which is going to cost you? In the book of 1 Chronicles, David made a statement that I think is tremendous. In that statement, we find that David comes to Ornan and he wants to buy this threshing floor. And this is the same place that we find that the temple is built upon, this huge rock, basically. And he wants to buy this. Ornan says, hey, I'll just give it to you. And he says, nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price. For I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost. You see, it would not be a sacrifice of David's to give what belonged to somebody else. It just wouldn't be a sacrifice. Parents, let me help you here just a little bit. It is good to teach our children to give. Amen? It's good to teach them to give. But here's something that we ought to consider in teaching them to give. Rather than just handing them money that they might give it, let's make it cost them something to get it, like a little bit of work. Okay? They've got to do something for it that they might give it unto the Lord, that we might teach them a very, very valuable lesson. Now, as we study here in the Word of God, we find that there are things that already belong to the Lord. And I want us to take a look at these tonight because I believe they'd be very important. First of all, we find that the firstborn is the Lord's. Notice verse number 26. Only the firstling of the beast which should be the Lord's firstling. No man shall sanctify it. Whether it be ox or sheep, it is the Lord's. This was something that was demonstrated very dramatically in Egypt. We find that the death angel came on the day or on the Passover, and all firstborn were slain in the land of Egypt. However, there is one thing that we find, and that is that there was a substitute made in the household of those who put their trust in God and believed in the slaying of the lamb and applying the blood. And that particular lamb then became a substitute for the firstborn. You see, the firstborn was basically to become the priest of the family. God, back in the very beginning, had slain a lamb for a man. But now God is showing us that that lamb can cover more than a man. It is now covering a family. Later on, we find that God says, instead of the firstborn of every family becoming a priest, I am going to take the tribe of Levi. And they will be my priests. And so here is an entire tribe that now becomes the priestly tribe. And out of that tribe, there is the line of Aaron that becomes the high priest that can go before the Lord. And that high priest, he can take a lamb as a substitute for the entire nation. God is showing a progression of things in these lambs, a lamb for a man, a lamb for a family, a lamb for a nation. And then John the Baptist, as you well know, he looked out across the Jordan River and saw the Lord Jesus Christ and said, "What? Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And so now there's a lamb for the world. And all of this is depicting something from way back here in the matter that the firstborn is the Lord's. And we have these substitutes that were made for us. Nevertheless, they were the Lord's. And they really couldn't be given. They were already His. In verses 28 and 29, we find it talks about what I would describe as devoted things. These are things that people, as we had already talked about, had devoted to the Lord. And they could be given by the people. They were a sacrifice of the people, but they were most holy unto the Lord. If they were to be taken by an individual and used by a person, it would cost the life of that person, as we saw demonstrated in Acts chapter 5. And this was demonstrated to us at Jericho. That was to be dedicated unto the Lord. That was His. He said, "All that which is in Jericho will be mine." And so that which was brought in that particular spoil was dedicated to the Lord. And the man Achan, who stole of that, God judged. And he and his family were stoned. By the way, we find that this is a very serious thing. May I suggest to you tonight, and we ought to do well to remember, that God calls the first day of the week the Lord's Day. Amen. It's His. And it ought to be devoted unto Him and our lives given unto Him. And the last thing we find in this chapter is that God says that the tithe is His. You say tonight, "I give of my tithes, and I have really sacrificed unto the Lord by giving Him 10% of my income." No. That was His to start with. To withhold of that is to basically steal from God. Matter of fact, if a man changed one of the tenths, in other words, there was coming under the rod the sheep, and every tenth one, why, they marked that sheep, that belongs to the Lord. And he says, "No, I want to keep that sheep. I'll give God this sheep." And God said, "Okay, you can give that sheep. We're going to find the value of it. Now add 20% to it." Yeah. And you can do that. I've often thought, those who withhold the tithe from God, does God charge 20%? Interesting scenario or question we might think of. The men of Malachi's day were not giving what was already God's. And we find that God was saying basically to them that they were robbing Him because it was already the Lord's. When we realize the graciousness of God, I believe that we want to give something to Him. There are offerings and there are sacrifices. But that which already belongs to the Lord can't be called an offering or a sacrifice. It belongs to Him. I believe there's more that we can give to God, by the way, than just our finances. I believe we can give God our time, can we not? We have so much of that, and we can give Him of that. The book of Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your" what? "Bodies." And he says, "a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God." May I suggest to you tonight that when we make a vow and we give God our body, we not take it back. Very bad practice that often takes place. I believe tonight we can give God worship. We can give God worship. Talks about the sacrifice of praise to God continually that we are to offer in the book of Hebrews. So often we want praise ourselves. We want people to look at us and say, oh, how wonderful you are and all of those things. But the sacrifice of praise is not looking for or honor ourselves, but it's what? Giving Him the glory. And allowing folks to understand whatever has happened in my life, it is because of Him. I believe tonight if we're the kind of people who don't want to give to God, it's because we're either selfish or perhaps we've never really experienced the great gift that God has given to us. And that is, He gave Himself. The Bible speaks of Christians being led by either the Spirit or by the flesh. By the law of liberty that is spoken of in the book of Galatians, or by the law itself. And we have tonight the privilege to allow the Spirit of God to lead us in this wonderful thing of being like the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is to give. Not that which is God's, but that which He's allowed in our lives that we might give Him honor and glory. The Spirit of God will lead us to be like Christ, who's the greatest example of giving that ever walked. For God so loved the world, He what? He gave. And you and I, as we become like the Lord Jesus Christ, must be willing to what? Give. That which is sacrificial. To give of ourselves, to give of our substance, to give of our time. Not for self-glory, but to bring it, that glory, unto the Lord. Amen. To recognize Him, to lift Him up, that He might be seen by others. We have a great God tonight, and He deserves our sacrifices unto Him. Amen. He deserves whatever it is that the Spirit of God leads us to give. I look at different individuals and I see them do different things. Sometimes I marvel at it. I've known people, I could point out folks in this room, that I have seen give, never wanting recognition, just simply wanting to do it for God. And that, I believe, is a wonderful place to be. That's where we all ought to be. Amen. Because God has done so much for us. It's not a matter that we have to. It's a matter that we ought to want to. Because He's gracious. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, we want to thank You that You're so wondrous. You're so gracious. You're so good to us. And Lord, we thank You. We have the privilege to give of substance. Lord, we thank You that we can do that. One of the means we do is through our faith promise, which is out of that which is ours, that which we've dedicated to You, that which we've made holy unto You. Lord, we give of our time. We set apart this Your day to bring honor and glory to Your name. Lord, how we revel in these things. We thank You for the privilege. Lord, we set aside and give of our time in other areas. And Lord, we give of our bodies as we just simply set it before You to do whatever You wish. But oh God, help us to remember that when we do, it's very serious. Not to be taken back, but to be used wholly for You. Lord God, I pray that through it You might receive the honor and the glory. I pray You might bless and work in hearts and lives. Do whatever is needed in our hearts tonight. Lord, we've dealt with teaching things, but perhaps there's some real needs here tonight. Perhaps there's one who needs to walk down this aisle and bend their knee and bow their head and just seek You for something. Lord, maybe we've done things for self-glory rather than for Yours. Maybe we've not really ever sacrificed. And maybe, Lord, we think when we give that which is Yours that we're giving that which is ours, which is not true. Lord, I pray that you just work in our hearts tonight. Bless now these moments of invitation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.